Tuesday's airplane collision at Baldwin Municipal Airport in Quincy, Illinois, has raised questions about the relative safety of airports without control towers. 14 people were killed when a United Express commuter plane, which was landing, crashed into a private King airplane that was taking off. The vast majority of the airports and airstrips in this country do not have control towers. The FAA estimates that about 300 of these non-towered airports have scheduled passenger service. The head of the Air Traffic Controllers Association says the accident in Quincy should prompt a review of whether more control towers are needed. But according to Phil Boyer of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, pilots using small airports already follow a number of safety procedures.
The first one is when the plane is some 5 miles out, generally, it will call in and give its position in relationship to the airport on sort of a common frequency that is published on all the maps and on all the charts, so that any airplane in that area, either flying in that area or on the ground, is going to hear that airplane. And then as the plane approaches the airport, it's going to give another position report. The plane flies a very, very pre-described kind of pattern, it's called. It's a rectangular shape around the runway, so that any plane sitting on the ground, such as the King Air was at Quincy, can really look into the air and spot where a plane should be if it was in the landing pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that plane is on final approach, it also announces on that common frequency where it is. And literally when the plane turns off the runway and has now cleared the runway, it also announces, "I'm now clear of the active runway."
So you have two things. You have the radio going and you have a visual reference.
Very important. You do have visual reference, too.
Well, who is responsible for avoiding the collision?
Well, the pilots in command of both planes are operating in what is called see and be seen concept. In other words, they're to look out the window. And I might relate this, for instance, to an intersection on any in any city. And we have lots of them, of course, far more than we have with traffic lights and stop signs. Just an intersection in which our procedure there as drivers is to yield to the person from the right, to approach the intersection cautiously, to look in each direction, and then proceed. Here in the air traffic situation, like on intersecting runways, we have exactly that same situation, except we also have, in addition to that, the ability to talk to the other plane on this common frequency.
What about the possibility of a radio going bad?
That's very possible, but generally when you are taxiing out, you check that radio with the service station, we'll call it, on the airport, where they're keeping track of the altimeter, etc. And some procedures call for pilots to even check their radios with the person who's on the ground. This isn't a control tower. This is generally what's called an FBO, fixed-based operator, or the lounge in the terminal where the fuel is pumped and that kind of thing. There's no legal responsibility on their part to be keeping track of traffic or anything, but they're really sort of an airport manager, so to speak.
They could hear a difficulty on the radio circuit.
Very definitely.
Is any of that recorded, what they talk
not,
about?
Not usually, no.
Have you ever had a close call?
You know, the only close calls I've had, and I wouldn't even call them close, nothing in which I saw a plane whizzing by me, was at a towered airport. You know, far more of these accidents in recent years have occurred at towered airports than on non-towered. As a matter of fact, I'll cite the L.A. accident a couple of years back where we had the airliner land on top of a commuter that was waiting in position in good weather.
Mm-hmm.
And the accident that happened last year with the Conquest and the TWA airliner at St. Louis Lambert Field.
What would be your conjectures to the reason for that? Would pilots tend to be more complacent if there's somebody up there in a tower telling them what to do?
In many cases, yes. As a matter of fact, we look to the tower to be our eyes, ears, and everything else, and that is what has lulled people into to getting involved in accidents that way. You're very, very cautious, just as you are when you approach an intersection with your car in which there is no stop sign or traffic light, versus having a traffic light, of course, and it turns green and you start out. Many people don't look for somebody maybe running the red light that's on the intersecting street.
In general terms, would you say that the number of towered airfields in this country is right? There are 300 or so airfields with scheduled passenger service that do not have control towers. Should the federal government, say, split that difference and put up another 150 control towers?
Being a responsible taxpayer concerned about balancing the budget and the other pressures against government, I think that the ratio is just about right now. I think that the criteria is very correct. Many of the 300 airports that have scheduled service have very limited scheduled service. Many of those airports in very remote areas, such as Alaska. And frankly, nothing about having a control tower means that that airport is any safer when there are only a limited number of operations.
Phil Boyer, the president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, he talked with us from his office in Frederick, Maryland.